Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, September 20th. I'm Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Cal Fire arrests employee in Mendocino on suspicion of arson. Horse Racing Board passes new rule due to Ferndale horse death. And the KMUD News Sports Report. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. Cal Fire has arrested an employee in Mendocino County on suspicion of arson. In a surprising development, Cal Fire law enforcement officers have arrested one of their own. Robert Hernandez, a 38-year-old fire apparatus engineer from Healdsburg, was taken into custody today, September 20th at 8 a.m. at the Howard Forest Fire Station in Mendocino County. He is suspected of starting five separate fires in the areas surrounding Geyersville, Healdsburg, and Windsor while off duty. The fires in question include the Alexander Fire on August 15th, the Windsor River Road Fire on September 8th, the Geyers Fire on September 12th, and the Geyser and Kinley Fire on September 14th. Fortunately, quick actions by residents and fire suppression resources help contain the damage to less than an acre of wildland. Hernandez will be booked into the Sonoma County Jail on charges of arson to forest land. Cal Fire Director and Fire Chief Joe Tyler expressed his dismay, stating, quote, "I am appalled to learn that one of our employees would violate the public's trust and attempt to tarnish the tireless work of the 12,000 women and men of Cal Fire," close quote. Cal Fire stated that it appreciates the vigilance of local residents whose information contributed to Hernandez's arrest. Residents are reminded to stay alert and report any suspicious activity during fire incidents. For those with information about arson, you can reach the Cal Fire Arson Hotline at 1-800-468-4408, where callers can remain anonymous. As of September 1st, Cal Fire law enforcement has arrested 91 suspected arsonists this year, and a total of 923 since 2016. For more information, you can visit Cal Fire's website. That's fire.ca.gov. As previously reported by KMUD News, two horses were euthanized at the Humboldt County Fair this year, making 2024 one of the deadliest years on record for local races, which has seen 24 horse deaths at Ferndale since 1994. 6-year-old mare Arctic Fire and 12-year-old quarter horse Visual Display were euthanized after sustaining musculoskeletal injuries during their race, where they both finished last. According to the Jockey Club's equine injury database, the average rate of racing-related fatalities per 1,000 starts, or any time a horse leaves the gates, is 1.32. However, Ferndale's rate of fatalities is over 5 times greater, which has caught the attention of the California Horse Racing Board, who characterized the deaths as preventable. In our original report on this issue, CHRB spokesperson Mike Martin stated that the chair of the board, longtime equine medicine veterinarian Dr. Gregory Ferraro, would be investigating and likely passing new rules for the under-regulated state fair racetracks. While horse racing fatalities are down 55% in the last 2 years, he noted that
not the end of the effort. I mean, there's still too many deaths, as you know very well, 2 at Ferndale recently, but the number's been greatly reduced. And you can't always anticipate what's going to happen. I mean, even a brilliant mind like Dr. Farrow can't anticipate everything. And an example of that is Visual Display, the horse that was euthanized on September 1st there at Ferndale. 12 years old, racing at 12. To our surprise, and So now our equine medical director that I mentioned to you is proposing a rule to limit the age of horses when they can run at fairs. By rule, every fatality results in a meeting, a conference, a gathering of all the principals. Our own people, Dr. Blaya, our official veterinarian, our investigators, the trainer of the horse, and the owner of the horse, and the veterinarian that treats that horse, they all get together and look at the circumstances. And if there is anything there, the appropriate action is taken.
Yesterday, September 19th, the California Horse Racing Board held its regularly scheduled meeting. However, they encountered a snafu when their meeting location suffered an unexpected power outage and could not provide live coverage of the event. KMA News did obtain a recording, but please note that due to the outage, microphones were also down, so the audio is less than perfect.
Duress,
man. Everybody sit down. We're under duress here, but we're trying to hold this meeting as best we can.
That was Chairman Dr. Gregory Ferraro. It is also worth noting that this meeting was heated, as the industry is in the midst of fighting among itself, divided by the northern and southern divisions. One commenter described it as a civil war within the industry. There were concerns mounting about the Bay Area track that closed after nearly 90 years and what financial implications it could have on the $2.5 billion horse racing industry in the state. Before discussing an agenda item regarding Golden State Racing's application to operate racing at Pleasanton at the Alameda County Fairgrounds in October, Dr. Ferraro made this statement.
Just one thing aside before I'm going to ask you to sit down because we want to hear from TOC, is your injury rate. The injury rate of the fairs, unfortunately, in my opinion, has been too high this year. There's a lot of reasons for it. But a 12-year-old horse that breaks down in Ferndale doesn't do racing any good. So if you're going to go forward as an institution of racing, you need to have this welfare of horses front and center, because the continued rate at which you're losing horses is not acceptable to the sport.
With the closure of the Bay Area track, Golden Gate Fields, due to deficits in their purses, as wagering or betting is down, the California horse racing industry is already struggling to survive. Even the largest commercial racetrack in the state, Del Mar, is seeing nearly an 8% decrease in wagering, which many attribute to the public turning to other forms of gambling, viewing horse race betting as a pastime of a bygone era.
Regardless of your feelings, you got to put that aside. This is a business. The financials are important. And if you can't meet the financial parameters, eventually you can keep robbing Peter to pay Paul. You can do a lot of different things to try and make it. But if the financials don't work out, the business has to close.
However, locally at Ferndale, as one commenter noted, business is booming.
Now, none of us know for sure what's going to happen. We had a great meet in Ferndale, better than any of us ever dreamt.
Special counsel with the Humboldt County Fair also spoke to this year's financial success.
James Morgan, Humboldt County Fair. What I'd like to do first is thank each and every one of you, except maybe the new member, for voting in the 3 weeks of unoverlapped in Humboldt. We went from contributing $400,000 to purses in 2023 to well over $1 million this year. What difference does that make to the industry? CARF came in overpaid at about $400,000 at the commencement of our meet. We wiped that out and added $300,000 to the consolidated purse fund. We're talking about diminishing horses. In 2023, you had 130 some odd horses. This year we had 240. That's 160% rise in the horse population there. Our backstretch workers were treated to barbecues, fish fries. Everyone loved up there in the 70 degree weather. Well, it's 100 degrees everywhere else in the state. So we were growing. And as for union employees, before, as you recall, the gate crew didn't want to go up for 2 weeks. For three, they were all there, and working efficiently and employed. Our mutual clerks, we had trouble getting people up there. We only have a handful. This time we had at least 20. All the windows were open. Everybody was happy. And when we talk about purses and allocations and benchmarks and things like that, on August 31st, we had our Ladies' Hat Day. According to the Daily Racing Forum, there was over 5,000 people in attendance at the races that day. Not one of our purses was over $10,000. Not one. And yet we had crowds, we had happy people. We had a local group of 50 individuals that had $1,000 each to buy 10 racehorses, horses that could not compete on the Southern California circuit. But they came up to Humboldt, they competed, and they filled our race cards. So I want to thank each of you for giving Humboldt, for the first time in 128 years, the opportunity to race without overlap, the opportunity to have 3 weeks. It made all the difference. And our track, our meet, is growing, both in commissions, purses, and horse population. And we appreciate that opportunity.
Although Morgan stated that no purses were over $10,000, it was widely reported that the final purse schedule was $50,000. He also failed to mention the two horse deaths that occurred at this year's meet. However, Dr. Blia, the CHRB Equine Medical Director, shared his findings, which resulted in a new age limit for horses at county fairs.
Regarding the comment made earlier in this meeting about an aged horse that was euthanized in Ferndale, there was quite a bit of discussion after that occurred. That was a 12-year-old. Del Mar and First Racing both have an eligibility age in their condition book. No horse over 10, no winner over 10 is eligible to race at those racetracks. I've spoken with Los Alamitos. They are also going to abide by that policy in-house. Mr. Cheney reached out to all of them. Los Alamitos will, has informed me they will abide to that winners over 10 years old are ineligible. Additionally, after a search, there are no horses over 10 years old currently training in Los Alamitos, but they will get in line with that policy. So we're glad to see that. Regarding that fatality at Ferndale, I will say that horse had a 7-year layoff. It was his third start calling a 7-year layoff. Got a horse passed all of his physical exams, not only panel exams, but pre-race. In addition, any horse that is 9 years old or over becomes an automatic hard watch on the panel. So it gets extra scrutiny, and that horse did receive extra scrutiny despite having to be used.
Get an agreement on the CARF members that on the 10-year old.
I spoke to Larry about this earlier, and they are in agreement about an eligibility age of 10 years old, no older than 10 years old.
The death of the other horse at Ferndale this year, 6-year-old Arctic Fire, was not discussed, although it was speculated that Ferndale may have broken CHRB's inclement weather policy, as it allowed for racing on the day and 24 hours after Humboldt County received over an inch of rain. When KMA News reached out to the fair for comment on what safeguards, if any, were in place, we did not receive a response. But the group, Kill Racing, Not Horses, is calling for the end of horse racing altogether and says that the decline of economic success in the sport is a representation of a lack of public interest.
And this is the second year in a row that they've had a decline in wagering. So I guess my point is people really aren't interested in seeing horses' lives, risks, been taken for mere gambling. And I think it's important for people to understand, you know, this is really an anachronistic industry. It's been on life support for decades, and the horses are paying for it. No legitimate sport would tolerate the death of, in this case, two of its athletes in 2 weeks of competition in just one venue. Think about it. I mean, there in Humboldt, if you had two, let's say, football players at Humboldt State die in 2 weekends, what do you think would happen? I mean, there would be some kind of uproar and investigation.
As of news time, there have been 59 deaths of equine athletes reported in the state of California within 35 weeks. Moving forward, with pressure on the horse racing industry, more attention is on Ferndale, which will likely see additional racing in 2025, approximately 9 days, as their revenues are currently the only without a deficit in the region. KMA News will continue to share updates. In state news, state lawmakers are targeting California's high gasoline prices and reoccurring price spikes, with an assembly committee holding a hearing to begin a special legislative session that may lead to action on a proposal by Governor Gavin Newsom. Christopher Martinez reports.
High gasoline prices and sudden price hikes have taken a toll on California consumers. In August, Governor Gavin Newsom called a special legislative session to deal with the problem. State Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas appointed a committee on the issue, and now the committee has held its first hearing. Democrat Cottie Petrie-Norris of Irvine is chair of the new committee.
I'd like to call this hearing of the Assembly Committee on Petroleum and Gasoline Supply order as part of the second extraordinary session.
She laid out the issue at hand.
Gasoline demand is shrinking. The market supplying gasoline to the state is constricting. As a consequence, prices have grown more volatile, and that's hurting California families. We cannot and do not expect Californians to just accept sky-high prices. We don't expect people to just accept price spikes. That's why we're here.
Wednesday's hearing was informational, with lengthy testimony about the details of petroleum storage tanks, transportation networks, and factors that affect gas prices. But lurking behind it all is a proposal from Governor Newsom.
I recognize that the elephant in the room, as it were, is the 15-day liquidity reserve proposal.
A mere 5 refiners control virtually all of California's refining capacity, and 11 refiners produce 90% of the state's gasoline and diesel. So when a refinery shuts down for planned maintenance or a sudden emergency, prices shoot up. Newsom's plan would authorize the California Energy Commission to require oil refiners to keep a minimum reserve of fuel on hand in order to avoid supply shortages and the resulting price spikes. Oil industry groups say that plan would not work. Tom Robinson is chair of Robinson Oil, the owner of 37 Rotten Robbie gas stations in the Greater Bay Area. He's skeptical of new laws like the governor's proposal.
The new laws and regulations the state is implementing, which is going to run the industry more cost-effectively, and I say that facetiously, will almost certainly be an additional cost. California already has extremely high costs to operate, which means California's consumers pay very high prices for gas and diesel, and now the bill they foot will be likely bigger.
Republican Assemblymember Jim Patterson of Fresno also sounded skeptical of the governor's plan.
Squirreling away a large supply of gasoline could actually work in the other direction, to basically be a, you know, if you hoard it away and the demand is there, prices are very likely to go up.
Democrats were more open to Newsom's proposal. Steve Bennett is a Democrat from Ventura.
The question that I ask is this. Should the representatives of the people of California just sit back and let this transition take place and let an ever-increasing concentrated group of market players make the decisions that we hope protect consumers, or should we intelligently get involved?
Since Wednesday's hearing was informational, lawmakers did not take any action at the hearing, but that could change on Thursday, when the committee will begin debating actual legislation. Committee Chair Petrie-Norris says that is where the real action will come.
Plenty more. It's like a cliffhanger till tomorrow. Yeah, stay tuned for tomorrow's hearing.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
California Governor Gavin Newsom signed 7 bills in San Francisco yesterday as part of a bipartisan effort to tackle the state's housing crisis, with the goal of building 2.5 million new housing units by 2030. Teresa Wersbianska reports.
With over 180,000 Californians experiencing homelessness, according to the state's last count, and many more struggling to pay for housing, California Governor Gavin Newsom didn't mince words at a bill signing event today at a San Francisco housing project. He says it's time for state lawmakers to come together with an all-hands-on-deck approach to solving the housing crisis. Seven housing bills got the governor's stamp today. These are the first of a package of 32 bills ranging from overriding zoning requirements to increasing local government's accountability. Governor Newsom.
This is all about a pattern interrupt. It's like an old record player and you scratch it. That's what this bill package represents. We just want to radically change the way we've been doing things. And I think that more than anything else defines the why, the what, and the how of the seven bills that we just signed here.
As cities take controversial measures to clean up encampments of unhoused people and pass local laws to crack down on what many have observed to be an epidemic of homelessness, the state has faced criticism for exactly what measures will be promoted to achieve practical and humane solutions. Joined by San Francisco Mayor London Breed, State Attorney General Rob Bonta, Democratic Assembly Member Buffy Wick, and others, Newsom highlights his sense of urgency in moving forward new legislation.
People are dying on their watch. There is no compassion in allowing people to suffer the indignity of living in encampment for years and years.
One of the new laws allocates Prop 1 funding for the development of new home key housing and would provide over 4,000 permanent housing units, complemented by mental health and other support services. Of these units, half are designated for veterans experiencing behavioral health challenges. Another new law promotes the so-called builder's remedy to alleviate housing scarcity. The controversial law allows developers to bypass local building rules and receive automatic approval for dense housing developments in jurisdictions that are out of compliance with state housing law. Attorney General Rob Bonta says accountability measures are necessary to keep state and local governments pulling the same way.
You got to do what you do in a crisis. It's all hands on deck and every tool in the toolbox. And today is a down payment on more action, more doing, more urgency, being more aggressive when it comes to taking on our housing crisis here in California.
Other new laws today make it easier for cities to convert retail and office space into housing and for universities to bypass some regulatory barriers for new student housing. I'm Teresa Wersbianska, Pacifica News, KPFA.
Ray Hamill brings us the details of all this week's big local sports stories, including all the latest high school and college football, as well as some high school soccer updates and news of a new recruiting campaign.
Hello and welcome to this week's KMODA News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have much more on all of the latest high school and college football in just a moment. And we'll also be looking at some of the other big local sports stories of the week, including all the latest high school and college soccer, some Ute baseball, and news of a new recruitment campaign by the HDNL that could help all of the local high school sports. But first up, we're almost a month into the 2024 high school football season, and it has been a very impressive start for three HDNL schools in particular. Last weekend, the Arcata Tigers improved to 3-0 with a third straight win over a Big Four opponent. Junior quarterback Luke Lemke threw for three touchdowns and ran in for two more in a 35-6 win over the Del Norte Warriors in Crescent City, as the visitors took advantage of several big plays on their way to the victory. The Tigers have now beaten Eureka, Fortuna, and Del Norte to open the new season. This weekend, they will travel south to the Bay Area to play Oakland High School, which is also off to a 3-0 start. Elsewhere this past weekend, the St. Bernard's Crusaders overcame a mistake-filled performance to beat Biggs High 20-14, and they improved to 3-0. The Ferndale Wildcats are also unbeaten this season with a record of 2-0. The Cats had a bye last week. The Fortuna Huskies also have impressed early in the new season. The Huskies celebrated their homecoming with a 36-0 win over McKinleyville at Fortuna High School last weekend, posting their second shutout victory of the season. The dominating performance was a nice response for a team that suffered a disappointing loss to Arcata the previous week. The Huskies are now 2-1 on the season, while McKinleyville dropped to 0-2. It was also a good week for the Eureka Loggers, who traveled to play Newark Memorial and rallied late for a 14-7 win, which ended a 16-game losing streak dating all the way back to the 2019 2022 season. With the victory, the Loggers improved to 1-2. Rounding out a busy weekend for the HDNL schools, the Hoopa Warriors got their first win of the season, beating South Fork 30-0 in Miranda and improving to 1-2, while the Cubs dropped to 0-2. All 9 HDNL varsity teams will be back in action this weekend. On Friday night, Eureka hits the road for a third straight week and will play at Willow Glen. The Del Norte Warriors will try to bounce back from their loss to Arcata when they host Skyline. St. Bernard's plays at Clear Lake, Hoopa at Trinity, and South Fork at Hay Fork. Closer to home, the McKinleyville Panthers will try to get their first win of the season when they host University Prep. The highly anticipated milk can showdown between rivals and neighbours Fortuna and Ferndale at Ferndale High School is the only local game scheduled for the area on Saturday. Kickoff is set for 2 p.m. with the school's JV teams facing off beforehand at 11:30. Some of the Mendocino County teams were also in action last weekend. Fort Bragg fell 41-14 to Kelseyville and dropped to 1-2. Willits beat St. Helena 20-14 and improved to 2-1, while Ukiah had a bye. On Friday night, the Ukiah Wildcats, who are 1-1, will play at Chico. Willits hosts Lower Lake, and Fort Bragg will host Cloverdale. Laytonville will also be in action on Friday night, with the Warriors hosting Anderson Valley. In local college football, an impressive start to the new season for College of the Redwoods continued on Saturday with a dominating 63-18 win over Hartnell. The game, which was played at the Redwood Bowl in Arcata, was a rematch of last year's Grizzly Bowl game, and it was another huge performance by the Corsairs, who also beat Hartnell 63-0 in last year's bowl appearance. The Corsairs, who are 2-0, have averaged 48 points a game through their first two games and are the fourth highest scoring team in the state. However, they will be tested on Saturday when they travel to play Monterey Peninsula, the highest scoring JC team in California. In local high school soccer, meanwhile, league play began for the HDNL girls on Wednesday. In the Big Four, defending conference champions Eureka got the new campaign off to a good start with a 3-1 win over Arcata. The Loggers have a new head coach this year, with Melania Valdez taking over from Tommy Learmout, who enjoyed tremendous success with the program in recent years before taking over the Eureka boys team this year. Wednesday's win was the first as a high school coach for Valdez. In the other Big Four game on Wednesday, the Fortuna girls beat McKinleyville 2-0. In the Little Four, defending champion St. Bernard's tied Ferndale 0-0, while the Del Norte Warriors travelled to Miranda and came away with a 5-2 win over the South Fork Cubs. The HDNL boys were also in action this week with 3 league games on Tuesday. In a key showdown in Crescent City, the defending HDNL champs Del Norte scored late to edge Fortuna 1-0 in a showdown between the two favourites for this year's league crown. The win lifts the Warriors to 2-0 in league play, while the Huskies dropped to 2-1. Also on Tuesday, Eureka edged McKinleyville 2-1 and Arcata beat St. Bernard's 8-0. It was also a good week for the Cal Poly Humboldt women's soccer team. After dropping their first two games of the season, the Lumberjacks won 3 games in 7 days, all by identical 2-0 scores, beating Dominican, Academy of Art, and Jessup University. The Jacks are now 3-2 and will play at Concordia University Irvine on Saturday, with kickoff set for 6:30 p.m. In local youth baseball, meanwhile, the Redwood Giants Orange 10U team travelled to Medford and took first place in their bracket at the Bash to School tournament. It was the first tournament win of the year for the local travel team. And finally this week, the HDNL has launched a campaign to recruit officials to all of the league's sports. With a growing shortage of officials for many high school sports affecting leagues all across the nation, the HDNL is hoping to add to the roster of officials in soccer, football, basketball, volleyball, wrestling, baseball, and softball. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Dennis Marr. And thanks to our reporters, Ray Hamill, Christopher Martinez, and Teresa Wersbianska. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.